Beloved congregation, it is a miserable thing to be a backslider. So J.C. Ryle writes, and I quote, "Of all unhappy things that can befall a man, I suppose this is the worst. A stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden overrun with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins, all these are bad sights. But a backslider is a sadder sight still." End of quote. You can find these words in the insert or on the insert in the bulletin and other words of J.C. Ryle. The backslider is someone who, instead of going forward, is sliding and has been sliding backwards. Instead of making progress, as Bunyan pictures it in Pilgrim's Progress, the backslider regresses. The Bible often speaks about backsliding. God grieved by the spiritual defection of his chosen people, declared, and I quote from Jeremiah 3, verse 8, declared that backsliding Israel committed adultery. Or God speaking through the prophet Hosea in chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord says, "Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." Or if you take the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 7, he confessed to the Lord, "Our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee." The verb to backslide literally means to run away from, to rebel against God in favor of heathen gods, idols, and to fall away, to become apostate. Most every Christian whom the Lord chooses to let live in this world for any length of time carries with him the scars of his backslidings. And it's amazing how quickly this can happen in a believer's life. How does it happen? You know, love begins to get cold. Zeal begins to die down. Spiritual life declines. Prayer becomes a hurried thing. It's no longer the most precious moment of the day to seek God's face. And very often in the life of a backslider, he doesn't pray personally. He does with his family. With his wife, perhaps, if she insists. But rather not. And it's not unusual that prayer life goes completely away. No more fellowship with God. A backslider is a person who begins to, our authorized version uses the term in Psalm 66, that he regards sin in his heart. The verb regard there has the sense of he begins to cherish sin in his heart. And when that happens, you can almost picture it, can't you? Then comes the next step and the next step. It's an ineffable series of steps. And when we cherish sin in our heart, it cannot but result in indulging sin in our lives. Known as a believer, perhaps a minister, an elder, Sunday school teacher, known as a godly person. But if that person comes to that point that he cherishes sin in his heart, today, tomorrow, he will indulge sin. He'll hide it from his wife if he can. Surely from his children or from his parents. But he can't hide it from God. He can't hide it from God. You know that the Bible speaks about secret sin. Secret sin. David talks about it in Psalm 19. And he prayed the Lord with respect to secret sin. Now we know of David that David also sinned openly. If you think of that sin with Bathsheba and the way he dealt with Uriah, her husband, that open sin blemished his life. Almost ruined him. Were it not for the forgiving grace of God, who says in our text tonight, I will heal their backsliding. And then to think that David was a man after God's heart, own heart. As David, he sinned openly. But he also sinned secretly. And as I said, he makes reference to it in his prayer in Psalm 19. Part of the revelation of God. And what did he pray there in that psalm? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Is that your prayer today? Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, we may be the kind of person who just want to watch out that others don't see us sin. So we try not to sin openly. But you know, there is this sin that others don't see, but that God sees. And that sin that nobody knows about, but that God sees, can bring you to destruction. Let me speak about these things tonight, congregation. Painful. I preach to myself as well. Don't know if you are aware of these things in your life, but maybe you are sitting here tonight and you know your heart has become hard or shallow. And there is no longer the peace in your heart that you may have known once. And upon occasion, when you think of it, then you do miss the things that once you did have in your life. And when you hear a minister or someone else speak the words of that lovely verse, where is the blessedness I knew? When first I saw the Lord, where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And it can be that those words strike a note in your heart. And then you say, I've sinned it away. You may know that God's people sometimes can be grieving about these things. That they know that they have grieved God, but also grieved their own heart for months. You know, there are backsliders that continued backsliding, not just for a day or so, a week or so, and not just for months, but for years. And they lived just an outward shell of a life, a profession they had. And they kind of wanted to keep that as the last thing. They wouldn't want to let go of it. They didn't want to be known as open enemies of God. And yet, in their heart, not that there is not that peace with God. And as I said, no longer that prayer life. And no longer the reading of the scriptures for their personal devotions, perhaps with the family, but no more. And when the elders come for house visitation, and they ask you, how are you doing spiritually? Are you able to speak of a communion with God? It may be that you said, yeah, not like it used to be. It's kind of a struggle, but no, yeah. And the elders are gone a little later, and you know that you were a hypocrite. That's the kind of people, the kind of person addressed in our text congregation. Listen to these words. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow like the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. Let us listen to these words for our instruction, consolation, and above all for the glory of God, that we might walk with God in true obedience. Or again, the healing of the backslider is our theme. And I'd like to speak about the graciousness of God and the gentleness of God and the generosity of God. You may know that the word generosity is actually not a biblical word. And yet I use it, partly because our text speaks of the little adverb freely. I will love them freely. I just looked it up. If you think of Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the generosity of God. So the healing of the backslider. Let's first of all consider the graciousness of God, of his attitude. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. I will be as the dew unto Israel. In these words, the Lord reveals himself to those who have known the way of God, who have walked in the way of God, but who have backslidden from him. And he says, I will heal your backsliding. Love you freely. What is this? The revelation of his richest grace and love. Let's first of all focus then on that graciousness of God. And consider two aspects of the graciousness of God. First of all, you have here the graciousness of a father to an erring son. As the psalmist puts it, Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's essentially what we read in our text. What is it that brings a backslider back to the feet of God? What is it? What is it? It may be that the hand of God comes into their life and goes against them in their life. God sending by his hand a difficult providence. That hand of God. But that hand is still the hand of God's mercy and love. If you think of it in the light of the New Testament, it's the hands that were pierced on Calvary's tree. Is there someone here tonight who's a backslider and he has this fear in his heart that he will never again know the blessing of God as he once knew? You think that's never going to happen again? Don't say that. It may take a long time. But of those who even were backsliders for 2 years, God took them again. That's the first thing here. I will heal their backsliding. The attitude of the graciousness of a father towards an erring son. And then the second thing that's part of this graciousness of God is that God in his love and in his grace will never let go. When a Christian finds his heart grown cold, his love waned and his zeal gone, sin has crept in and he has indulged in sin. What now? Is there no more hope for him? Yes, there is. Jeremiah 31, is it verse 3? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's a love whereby God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, and he sent him into outer darkness to find that backsliding sinner in that darkness. And not only that, but to pay for the backsliding, sin of the backslider. You see, our love, after a while, gives up. But not the Lord. He comes to do what? To remove the disease of that backsliding that it is. And to provide that balm, that healing balm for the backslider. I will heal their backsliding. God is saying, I will actually cure their backsliding, so that they will not backslide from me again. The graciousness of God. But then secondly, the gentleness of God. Consider this phrase, I will be as the dew unto Israel. In certain lands with a dry climate, in a hot season, dew plays a very important role in water supply. In areas where the skies normally are clear in summer, with cooling at night, it may be that heavy dews are produced, perhaps by a wind from the sea, and then moisture comes into the atmosphere there. Now, the way of the work of the Holy Spirit in dealing with the backslider, God says, is as the dew. It comes to the backslider as the dew. Now, the dew falls when a person, in a sense, is not aware of it. In the hours of the night, the dew falls. And when you're out there in the grass or in the field, and you notice it, your feet get soaked. That's the picture of the Spirit of God dealing with the backslider? We wouldn't do that, would we? Those backsliders who have been backslidden for years, we ministers and elders, we may want to shake them and say, "What makes you think you can do that? Shame on you." God says, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." Isn't that a lovely symbol for God's gentleness coming so quietly with healing influences from heaven, with balm to the wounded spirit, and showing that sinner again the wounds of the Savior, the wounds that do melt the hardness of that backslider's heart, the wounds that speak so amazingly of the grace, the gentleness of God. Now, if you, my friend, have backslidden, have been away from God, and the Spirit, when He comes to you like the dew, then there is one place He makes you look to. Do you know what that place is? It's the cross. It's the one who was on the cross, wounded for our transgressions. And you know how He does it? He may do it by, as He comes as the dew, remind you of your godly father and mother. Maybe the Bible reading at home and the prayer at home and the singing of a psalm at home. And all of a sudden you're reminded of your father's certain words in his prayer. And you think of it. The time when I was still at home with mom and dad, what was there? The loveliness of God's presence that they sought day after day. Or it may be that through that dew of the Spirit, you are reminded of an earlier time in your life that you saw your need of the Savior and you learned to call for His mercy and to humbly walk with your God. And you remember those times that you know that your sins had been dealt with by His blood forever. But look where you have come now. But that dew of the Spirit that reminds you of the time that you knelt before God in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking access to the throne of grace. And you remember the day you obtained mercy. And the Spirit begins to remind you of these things, and then you begin to hope against hope. And you say to yourself, could it be? Could it be? Yes, I will be as the dew unto Israel. You know, congregation, when God comes into your life for the first time with the birth from above, from heaven, and He leads you to conviction of sin, and you come to see your need of Christ, and you learn to become a beggar for the forgiveness of sin by His blood, you may remember how overwhelming that was in your life. But you know, when a backslider, a man or a woman who has sinned against grace and against light and against love, not merely the sin of a rebel, but of a child of God. And when God visits you as a backslider, and he says, I will heal your backslidings, then the mercy of God overwhelms you more than ever before. That's the mercy of our text. I will heal your backsliding. Oh, congregation, regeneration, conversion is a mercy of God. But healing from backsliding, healing from sinning against the grace of God and against light and love, that's an even greater mercy of God. Then you begin to understand the words of the prophet Micah, when in Micah 7, towards the end of the chapter, he exclaims, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Could God be that way? Yes, he is. Or think of Lamentations 3, verse 31, he will not cast off forever. Or think of Psalm 103 for that matter. He will not be angry always, nor will he forever chide. Though we oft have sinned against him, still his love and grace abide. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth the iniquity of a backslider? The iniquity against grace and love. Well, there you have the first point, congregation, the graciousness of God. I will heal their backsliding, and the gentleness of God. I will be as the dew unto Israel. And then the generosity of God. The beginning, I reminded you of the words of J.C. Ryle inside the bulletin for today, who says that there is no sadder sight than that of a backslider. Now, is there a happier sight than when the Holy Spirit works in a backslider? Hosea pictures it in our text, and you could say he uses four pictures here. First one is, he shall grow as the lily, verse 5. What does that mean? Lovely picture. The Bible says that the lily grows in the valleys among thorns. Song of Solomon, for example, chapter 2. And the Bible teaches us that that lily looks so beautiful. But the strongest point of resemblance between the lily and God's healing of the backslider is this, that that lily grows in beauty and spotless purity. Because the lily is white. Picture of symbol of holiness, purity. And you may know that the Christian, when he has been cleansed, when he knows that he has been cleansed, and when that Christian backslides and he knows he has sinned against grace and light, and when the Spirit works in him, then he knows that he's become so foul and so vile, and he thinks, I'll never be clean again. But when God comes as the dew and he begins to work, he does what? He purifies. How does he do that? He raises a cry in the heart of a backslider. What cry is it? As it was in David's heart, Psalm 51. Wash me. Oh God, wash me. Make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. Ever been on your knees with that cry? looking to God. Oh God, wash me for Jesus' sake. Oh, how we ought to pity those who have never been on their knees to cry to God and said, oh God, wash me and make me clean. My unconverted friend, you may never have been a backslider in life because you never began to walk on the way to life everlasting. And that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. You never walked on that road. But you know, even though you may not ever have been a backslider, but if you're unconverted, then you need the same grace and the same love and the same blood of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus calls you this night here in this house. See him and hear him in the gospel. Christ Jesus on the cross, pierced. Confess your sins. Flee from your sins and plead with Christ for mercy. And you too will know what our text says, that he shall grow as the lily. That's the first picture of the generosity of God. And the second picture is that he says he shall cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Lebanon, the mountain where the cedars were known to be growing, tall and mighty trees, casting their roots deep and wide. Deep and wide. And God says, that's what I will do to the backslider. I'll make him not only beautiful as the lily, but I'll make him put out his roots under the rock so that he gets to be fortified and his faith is renewed. Or think of the faith of backsliding Peter, the man who backslid when he denied his Lord and Master thrice with oaths and curses. And 50 days plus 3 days later, he stood on the day of Pentecost as a restored, a healed Peter. Courageous. What did he say? He said, this Jesus whom you took by wicked hands and crucified and slew, that same Jesus whom we preach to you is the Savior of sinners, and he's alive from the dead. And you see in Peter the courage of faith. His faith putting forth its roots under the rock of eternity, cleft for him under Christ. So that's the second picture. And the third picture is the fruitfulness of the olive. His branches shall spread, and his beauty, we can also translate, his fruitfulness shall be as the olive tree. You see, in a sense, we could say that a lily does not bring forth fruit. It's there, beautiful, lovely. Now, a Christian, indeed, in Christ, becomes lovely in the eyes of God, purified. The cedars, with their deep roots, those mighty cedars, in a sense, do not bear fruit either. But when God heals a backslider, God's people are not only beautiful, pure, and strong, courageous, but he makes them bear fruit to the grace of God and the glory of God. What fruit? The fruit of humility. That's the first fruit that grows in the life of a healed backslider. Humility. The humility that the Christian, who when he had never backslidden, knew nothing about. There's a fruit now in his life of humility that keeps him conscious of his failure and his need to be close to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. A humility that God will bless. And he learns the lesson, how could I be so proud when I owe everything to the graciousness and the generosity of my Lord and Savior, the God of all grace. Fruitfulness in the life of a healed backslider. Greater humility, or deeper loyalty if you wish, stronger love. And then the fourth picture. His smell shall be as Lebanon. His fragrance shall be as the fragrance of Lebanon. I understand, congregation, that surely in the days of the Bible, you could smell the cedars of Lebanon, long ways away from Lebanon, even 20 miles. And you see, when God heals a backslider, he puts a fragrance into that backslider's life. Now think for a moment, she's not pictured as a backslider, but think of Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Mary, who in a certain sense could not do very much for the Lord Jesus, because he had come to do it all. He had to bear the curse of God alone. She could not help him. But she did, on the other hand, a great deal. Not to help him, but she did, you could say, everything she could do. What did she do? She took the most precious thing that she had, and she broke it, and then poured the ointment, the fragrance with the ointment, out on Jesus. And the house was filled with the smell, the fragrance of that ointment. Is there that fragrance in your life? In my life? You know, this congregation, Free Reformed Church in Ball Avenue, 950 Ball Avenue, Northeast. This church could be filled with the fragrance, not only of people coming to Jesus for a first time, that too, but this church could be filled with the fragrance of the backsliders coming back. You could say all of us coming back in repentance and new obedience. Coming back where? To the feet of Jesus. What a fragrance that would fill this house. And it would rise to the nostrils of God. And God can do that, congregation. We can't. God can do it. And then that fragrance will be smelt in the whole neighborhood and for miles in Grand Rapids. That's what God does when he heals a backslider. What can we say? But adore his grace, his gentleness, is generosity. All the fruit of Christ's work on the cross. O backslider among us, do you hear it? This is the gospel. He can and will heal the backslider among us. Do you hear it? For Christ's sake, heal you, backslider, and love you freely for Christ's sake. Hear him say it here in our text, for mine anger is turned away, because his anger was turned away on Calvary through Christ, so that God loves even a backsliding church. Oh, bow then and confess your backsliding and receive the pardoning grace of the God who spared not his own son. And because of this, he can pity and heal the backslider. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we marvel at the sovereignty of thy work, and that thou dost say, I will heal the backslider. We marvel at so much love of thine and the graciousness and the gentleness and the generosity and offer to us so freely. Oh, make us to be much in prayer. We confess, O Lord, that for seasons, for years perhaps, we should say, we've been too busy to pray and come together. So our lives are so packed with things around ourselves and the things we need in order to survive and get a little ahead. But grant us too, as a people, to come and to give. Not that we can contribute anything, but that we give what thou hast given us, and that we break it for thee, and do it in such a way that it is thy work. Oh, let thy Spirit be our constant aid. And grant that this word go with us and remind us hour after hour of who thou art and has been and has promised to be. In Jesus' name. Bless us in all that is before us this week. The elders in their meeting and in their labors. And wherever we may be traveling this summer on vacation. But grant, O God, that this may resonate. And that we may be the benefactors of thy, I will heal their backslidings and love them freely. In Jesus' name, amen.